Whoa. All right. So, guys, the whole morning's not about you, okay? But quite a bit of it is a bit about you. In fact, today, I'm not really kind of preaching a sermon as such. We're just going to have one really long prayer session, all right? Oh, the whole day. We're just going to talk to God the whole day. I know. I know. Okay, we might break the praying up with a few other activities as well, but what I want is, wondering if my first slide can come up, today we're going to think about family, and over here in our mission statement, life-giving family, we're going to think about family today, and the first part of family that we're going to think about, I'm not working, no, can you push it on for me, thanks Verona, next one, excellent, King Josiah. Listen up. Who was an 8-year-old? Who's 8? Okay. King Josiah, he became king when he was the same age as you, Noah. Yeah, you're the king. Dad probably thinks that sometimes, that maybe you're the king. But King Josiah, he had a dad and a granddad who didn't actually follow God. The Bible says that they were actually wicked kings. But 8-year-old Josiah becomes the king, and he actually has a heart really soft towards God. And he wants to help the people to follow God. And when he becomes about 17, he organises a big working bee for the temple. And he cleans up all the rooms. And in the back storeroom, they found some old scrolls. Now, these are supposed to be read in the temple each day. But they'd been left in the back room, getting dusty. And Josiah had them brought out, had people reading through the Old Testament and realising that people hadn't been following God's plan for their life. And so Josiah at 8 becomes king. At 17, he becomes the person who helps to turn God's people back to following him. Young people, did you know that God can use you no matter how old you are? Next slide. One of my favourite stories is about this young guy in the time of Jesus. When Jesus wants to feed the crowd, no food, little fella comes up and says, I've got my lunch here. And so he takes the lunch, and what does Jesus do with that lunch? He triples it. What does he do?
Feeds 1,000 people.
He takes 2 fish, 5 loaves, and feeds 5,000 people. You know, it's pretty amazing, isn't it, that when God takes our life, what we offer him, he can do amazing things. Let me tell you about some people who are doing some amazing things this week. Next slide. Nevaeh Jolly, where are you? Nevaeh Jolly, Sam Laurie, Zach Bartlett are some of our Year 6 student leaders. And these people this week are going to be speaking Jesus into people's lives. And they have helped to prepare some of the Way of the Cross that hopefully some of you will come to see on Thursday night. So, Nevaeh, how old are you? 10. 2 years older than Josiah was when he became king. But God is using you this week to speak into people's lives. It's fantastic. Next slide. Oh, no, take that back. Let's leave it there. Okay. The people who have been working with Kay and putting up the boxes, on Monday nights, people who come to the table have been looking at your boxes, and there's one lady who's been really interested in those. Every Monday night she asks Kay about them. Kay explains to her what you've been looking at. And do you know what that lady did on Monday night? She asked Jesus to come into her life. Yeah. And do you know who's been a part of helping her to do that? You people. Not the grown-ups, not the old people. You people have been a part of helping her to come to know Jesus. But there's more. Do you know what she's going to use to help her to learn more about following Jesus? Do you remember the book that you put together earlier this year on, or last year was it, on the I Am statements of Jesus? She's going to use that book, and we're going to help her to learn more about who Jesus is. And that Jesus is the light, he's the shepherd. Now guess what? It's you people who have put that book together and you're going to be helping her to learn how to follow Jesus. You don't have to wait until you're grown up. You don't have to wait until you're old. God actually wants to speak into your life now and he wants to help you to grow and he wants you to be able to share your faith with other people. Putting together a Way of the Cross station, drawing a picture that goes into a book, putting some little objects into a square box. All of that God uses to help other people. God is using you. So that for the first part of our prayer meeting, I would like to invite out to the front Anybody who owns somebody out here, if you own one of these, could you come out the front, please? It's all right, you don't have to say anything and I'm not going to do anything nasty. I promise. And I would like the owners just to stand around, okay? Just stand around. And I'm going to invite Lester. Boys and girls, if you go to King's Baptist Grammar School, this man prays for you every Sunday afternoon. At about 4:30, 5 o'clock, when I'm leaving the school after musical rehearsals, this man is walking past your classrooms praying for you. He has prayed for you for years and years and years. But watch out, because when he prays, things happen. If it wasn't for this man, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. He was the man who prayed me into ministry when we were much younger, Lester. So Lester is going to pray for you this morning, and for you owners standing around the edge here, you might like to just reach out if you can touch your child or just reach your hand out. Nothing magical, but that we are all agreeing with what Lester is asking God to do in your life.
Thank you very much, Catherine, and thank you very much, all of you wonderful people who come along Sunday by Sunday and help Mum and Dad, and you are very much part of our lives. Every time I see you, I feel happy because you've got a great future. So let me pray for you all of you children, older children out there, let me pray for you. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've got a life for us. We thank you that it's going to be a wonderful life when we trust you. We thank you for all our friends, for our mums and dads, and the way that you love us, and the way that you care for us, and the way that you look after us. And we want to say thank you for everything you give us. Amen.
And boys and girls, as you go back, Elijah, we're praying that tomorrow is a wonderful day of celebration for you as you go and get the all clear. So we're praying that that'll be a great time. Well done. Have your snakes. Go back to your seats and I'll be back soon.
Oh, go out. You can go to your programs now. Make sure you get a snake.
It's out the front. You're never quite sure whether that's going to work. Now I feel more relaxed. You people are kind. Do the right thing. What we're doing today kind of came about a few months ago. I was sitting on the plane heading off overseas for my holiday at the end of last year, and you know, a few hours on the plane and watched a few movies and had a bit to eat, had a bit of a sleep, and almost ready to land in Milan. And I didn't have time to watch another movie. I was getting a bit bored, getting a bit restless, but I had time to watch a couple of TED Talks. And one of them that I watched just really sparked my imagination. And watching that, and then on the next plane we were on a few weeks later, I actually scribbled down some notes and some ideas. And so today's kind of come out of that. It's taken a bit of a different shape. But the TED Talk that I listened to was by a guy called Josh Prager. And we're going to watch it. It only goes for about 5 minutes. Watch it, and then I'm going to take you through another little prayer session. Then we'll have some more songs and then a final session. So let's just watch Josh and see what he has to say about ages, stages.
44. And I have the sense that 44 is going to be a very good year, a year of fulfillment, realization. I have that sense, not because of anything particular in store for me, but because I read it would be a good year in a 1968 book by Norman Mailer. He felt his own age, 44, wrote Mailer in the Armies of the Night, felt as if he were a solid embodiment of bone, muscle, heart, mind, and sentiment, to be a man, as if he had arrived. Yes, I know Mailer wasn't writing about me, but I also know that he was. For all of us, you, me, the subject of his book, age more or less in step, proceed from birth along the same great sequence through the wonders and confinements of childhood, the emancipations and frustrations of adolescence, the empowerments and millstones of adulthood, the recognitions and resignations of old age. There are patterns to life, and they are shared. As Thomas Mann wrote, it will happen to me as to them. We don't simply live these patterns. We record them too. We write them down in books where they become narratives that we can then read and recognize. Books tell us who we've been, who we are, who we will be too. So they have for millennia. As James Salter wrote, life passes into pages if it passes into anything. And so 6 years ago, a thought leapt to mind. If life passed into pages, there were somewhere passages written about every age. If I could find them, I could assemble them into a narrative. I could assemble them into a life, a long life, a 100-year life, the entirety of that same great sequence through which the luckiest among us pass. I was then 37 years old, an age of discretion, wrote William Trevor. I was prone to meditating on time and age. An illness in the family and later an injury to me had long made clear that growing old could not be assumed. And besides, growing old only postponed the inevitable, time seeing through what circumstance did not. It was all a bit disheartening. A list, though, would last. To chronicle a life year by vulnerable year would be to clasp and to ground what was fleeting, would be to provide myself and others a glimpse into the future, whether we made it there or not. And when I then began to compile my list, I was quickly obsessed, searching pages and pages for ages and ages. Here we were at every annual step through our first 100 years. 27, a time of sudden revelations. 62, of subtle diminishments. I was mindful, of course, that such insights were relative. For starters, we now live longer and so age more slowly. Christopher Isherwood used the phrase the yellow leaf to describe a man at 53, only one century after Lord Byron used it to describe himself at 36. I was mindful, too, that life can swing wildly and unpredictably from one year to the next, and that people may experience the same age differently. But even so, as the list coalesced, so too on the page, clear as the reflection in the mirror, did the life that I had been living. Finding at 20 that one is less and less sure of who one is, emerging at 30 from the wasteland of preparation into active life, learning at 40 to close softly the doors to rooms I would not be coming back to. There I was. Of course, there we all are. Milton Glaser, the great graphic designer whose beautiful visualizations you see here, and who today is 85, all those years are ripening and an apotheosis, wrote Nabokov, noted to me that like art and like color, literature helps us to remember what we've experienced. And indeed, when I shared the list with my grandfather, he nodded in recognition. He was then 95 and soon to die, which, wrote Roberto Bolaño, is the same as never dying. And looking back, he said to me that, yes, Proust was right that at 22 we are sure we will not die, just as a thanatologist named Edwin Schneidman was right that at 90 we are sure we will. It had happened to him as to them. Now the list is done. 100 years. And looking back over it, I know that I am not done. I still have my life to live, still have many more pages to pass into. And mindful of Mailer, I await 44. Thank you.
I found that quite intriguing as I listened to that on the plane, and he thought about writing a book, and I thought, in some ways, I think that book has already been written. I think that book might be called The Bible. Looking at stages and ages of life and thinking how God uses us all, no matter what the age, no matter what the stage of. But the thing that I loved about that too was that we all go through that same transition of age and staging, right from the little people right through until those who are in the yellow leaf period of life. And it's easy when we're younger to kind of think that we're immortal, that we won't die. But as we age, we recognise that the body is diminishing and that we will one day walk from earth into eternity, the songs a little earlier that we sang. So as I watched that TED Talk and it kind of rumbled around in my mind for a while during the holiday, it made me think of our three-word statement that we look at every Sunday, life-giving family, and particularly the word family there. Prager says in his talk, a thought leapt to mind. If life passed into pages, there were somewhere passages written about every age. If I could find them, I could assemble them into a narrative. I could assemble them into a life, a long life, a 100-year life, the entirety of that same great sequence through which the luckiest among us pass. And so I thought, yes, that's what we see in Scripture. And in this unfolding narrative of God at work in the world, that he actually picks up and invites people, no matter the age, whether it's an 8-year-old young king ruling over his people, through to ages that for us today seemed mind-blowing in their hundreds. But people who respond to the call of God in their life And God is not a discerner of age. He doesn't discriminate against age. He invites all and welcomes all and works in and through all. So how does the Bible speak about ages and stages? It talks about children and babies. It talks about teens. It talks about young men and women, older generations. And for each of those stages, there is the call of God in people's lives to respond to his spirit at work in and through them. And so the next stage for us to look at, obviously, is our teens, our adolescents, our young people. They have a whole variety of names. And I guess two characters stood out to me as I thought about scripture, but obviously there are a lot more than that. But one is the young man David, a shepherd and the youngest in his family. And when they are looking for a king, he's the last one that's brought before, but he's the one that God has chosen. Why? Because he was a man after God's heart. Just a young guy going about the jobs that his father had set for him to do, but faithful in that, strong in that, confident in that. And so as about a 17-year-old, when Dad sends him off to find his brothers out at war just to see how they're going, it's actually this young David who is able to help to defeat the enemy. And so this young man, a heart after God's own heart, is used powerfully by God in that situation. The other guy that stands out for me is Joseph. And at school, a number of times I know that in different year levels, that they look at the life of Joseph and watch the unfolding story where so many unfair things happen in his life. And guys, I don't have to talk to you too much about unfair things that happen to kids at school at times when life seems to give us those blows that knock us and we think are unfair and unjust. But we have here a young man who, again, is the youngest. He's betrayed, not simply by friends, he's betrayed by family, and yet he remains faithful. And God, again, is able to use him in an amazing way. He did what was right, and we see that so many times through the story, but he's not immediately praised for it, he's not immediately rewarded for it at times. In fact, life can be quite difficult for him. But God also raised him up and was able to use him powerfully to help his family. And a strong young character, when he's reunited with his family, is able to say to them, what you did to me of harming, God has actually used for good. And, you know, when we look around what happens at times at school and in relation, there are things that people might want to do to harm us. But as we stand firm in God and trust in how God might turn those things around and use them for good. And the third person in this age group that I want us to think about for a moment is Mary, a young girl, a brave girl. So we're heading into Easter, and this is the time when this young girl has grown into a woman. And the little child that she welcomed into her world that we celebrate at Christmas is now the man, her son, that she watches die on the cross. And so here's this young girl, spoken to by an angel, inviting her to be a part of God's story in a way that for her in her culture as a woman and unmarried was almost unthinkable. And yet her faithfulness and her courage and her bravery meant that she was willing to be the vessel through which God came into our world. Now at school, at Christmas time, leading up to Christmas, there are a number of times when you people may remember coming into the chaplain's den and listening to the story of Mary unfold using a story map. And at the end of that story, as I place down the final little objects on the mat, the words at the end of that story say that at this time, Jesus was probably about 5 years old and Mary was probably about 21. Every time I've told that story to the kids at King's, there's a little gasp when they realise how young Mary actually was. How young Mary was when God invited her to be a part of his unfolding story of salvation and restoration in the world. And as they reflect on that story, Matt, there are all kinds of comments and questions that come. But one that stood out to me from 2 years ago was one young girl in year seven at that time. She said to me, Catherine, I want to be faithful to God like Mary was faithful, but I don't know how to be. I think we all probably recognise that in our life, and we all say we want to be faithful like Mary, but we don't know how. And that's why God puts us together in community, so that we can encourage and help each other in this journey of life and these unfolding stages as God speaks to us and invites us into being a part of his work story. Some more kids that I want to highlight. Now, not because I know that I will leave some people out, but this is just a bit of a snapshot for you. But Emily Denton, Jay McKevin and Hope Stanley, they belong to our Year 7 to 11 student leaders, along with the other kids that I mentioned earlier today. And these are a part of putting together the Way of the Cross Stations that all of the classes from Year 6 to 12 will be walking through during this week. They're invited to come and walk through on Thursday night. These kids have taken time to read the narrative of those last few days of Jesus' life, and particularly the last few hours leading up to the cross. And they've thought through what is particular that we want people to take away from that. And so I want you to pray for Nevaeh and Sam and Zach as they've put together the first station. Pray for Emily, Jay and Hope as they've helped to put together some of the others. But can I ask you to pray for our Year 7 leaders this? They've put together the station of Jesus in the garden, and they have rostered themselves on for the whole week. And they're going to be in the character of Jesus here, praying for our school and our committee throughout the whole week. That's a huge task that Year 7 students have taken on, being willing to be here in a garden scene as their peers come through and experience the Way of the Cross. So can you please pray for our Year 7s, that they would have courage and that they would see fruit as they enter into the narrative of Holy Week and represent Jesus praying in the garden for our students. Brianna Stanley is one of our Year 12 prefects at school. Her last year at school, and she's part of the team of prefects in Year 12 who really do lead the school and represent the school in a number of ways. So pray for Brianna as she's a part of that cohort. And as I said before, it's not easy sometimes to stand up for your faith. Even though it's a Christian school, there are lots of kids there who don't really own and claim him as the king of their life. And so for our young people to stand bold and brave is really hard and takes courage. And so I want you to pray for them. And one other person I want to just highlight this morning is Annalise. Annalise is one of our faithful volunteers who comes every Monday night to work alongside of the people that come to the table. She is amazing in what she does. She sets the table, she helps prepare food, she works the dishwasher, she plays with the kids, she speaks with the older people. She has got such a servant heart. And just at the beginning of this year, she was nominated for Volunteer of the Year at Tichigali Council. She was the youngest person nominated. She didn't win the award, but the nomination, I think, has really blessed her. And we are blessed by her. There are these young people, not just in our school, but in our wider community, our church, who are living for Jesus, a tough, tough generation. It's not easy to be a follower of today. There are so many pressures on their life. And we as their family need to stand with them. We as their family need to pray for them. We as their family need to be the wind beneath their wing. We need to be encouraging and helping them. And so this morning, I've asked if Gay would pray for our young people. But what I'd like is, if you can see a young person not too far from you, then I'd really like you to come and stand with them. If it's okay with them, to lay hands on them, or just to be there and to reach your hand towards them. So even if you're on this side of the room and the young people are on this side, just move across. It's okay. God will still be okay with us moving and doing that. But let's come and surround our young people and pray for them, that they might be young men and women like David, like Joseph, like Mary, listening for what God is and the courage that God's Spirit gives to them to live the life that God calls them to. So come and gather around our young people if you can see them, and Gay, please come and pray for them.
A real privilege to pray for them. Our children were able to grow up in this community and be part of the children's program and the youth and now young adults. A real privilege, and also, you know, I understand the blessing of having peers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our young people. We thank you that they have this community here, and we pray for each one of them. Lord, we ask for strength for them as they face the pressure of living in our society where there's so much trying to drag them away from you. But Lord, we ask for them that they would have hearts that are chasing, that they would be strong in your strength to stand against those that would try and be against them or would try and drag them away. And Lord, may they be lights in their community, in their setting, whether it's at King's or whatever school that they are going. And Lord, may you use them to be witnesses, and may they know that they can do that now. They don't have to wait till they are older. Father, we thank you for the faith that you've already given. We pray that you would grow that faith and use them to reach out to others. Lord, we ask as they face difficulty that they would be reminded that their God is stronger than whatever they face, and that they have the community of friends and leaders that are there to support them as well. Father, thank you. We bless them. And we know that they are often an inspiration to us with their... Amen.
Thank you. So Prager talks about stages continuing, and if we try and go through all of the stages, we probably would be here all day, so we won't break it down into too many sections. So what I want to do now is just to think about the women of our church. And so it's time for you to do some work, okay? So it can be men or women who respond to this. But when you think about the scriptural narrative, the biblical narrative, right from Old Testament through New Testament, what are some of your favourite women characters, women of faith, that have spoken into your life? So just call them out. Ruth, Rachel, Esther, anyone else? Hannah, anyone else? A shy little bunch, aren't you? When we look at the unfolding narrative through Scripture, there are many women who are invited and caught up in that unfolding story. And many of those women standing against cultural norms, many of those women standing against laws that have been set down through kings and through leaders. And so we see women like Sarah and Miriam. Now these next two, Shapira and Pua, you might think, who in the world are they? I've not heard of them. These are two midwives who worked with the Israelite people back in Egypt. And when the ruling had come for the children, the young boys to be killed, these midwives actually protected a number of those children. So standing against injustice and standing up for what was right, so putting their life on the line. We've mentioned Esther, Ruth, Naomi, Deborah, Huldah. Huldah was actually a prophetess at the time of Josiah. So when the scrolls were found and they were brought, it was Huldah the prophetess who actually verified that these were God's words. So women prophesying, people, women leading communities, women standing up against injustice. We see Mary, and we've talked already about Mary with the young people. What I've referred to as the Easter Sunday women. Now, back in Bible times, women were not used as witnesses. Because of the cultural norms of the day, a woman wouldn't be called to be a witness to an event. And yet it was women who witnessed, who were the first ones to actually know that Jesus had risen and were able to go and tell people. And so Jesus raising that sense of status of women in that culture, it was wonderful. And then we have this woman, Lydia, referred to as a worker with purple cloth. So a woman of great means. And yet when her heart was captured by the love and the grace of Jesus, she was willing to use all that God had given to her to support this ongoing work of the spread of God's God's message, God's good news. So women used throughout Scripture to continue his work of salvation and restoration in people's lives. So women, I wonder what God is inviting you to in at the moment. Now, some of you are just young mums, some of you are kind of in those middle years, and some of you are a bit further down the track. But women, what is God calling you to? And just as I spoke to the young people, you don't live in a culture that allows you at times to easily enter the life that God invites you to. The world around us wants to squeeze us into a mould that is competitive, where we look at what the other people are like. And so our whole being can be captured by wanting to prove ourselves and wanting to be the best and wanting to look as though we've got life together. But Scripture tells us that none of us have got life together. That only happens through what Jesus does in our life. And so women, what is it that you have a sense that God is doing? One of the things that the culture around us has captured us with is this sense of busyness. And it's almost like we wear badges of honour if we are busy and tired. I don't think that's a badge of honour that God gives. Because God gives to us words like, it's in quietness and confidence that you'll find yourself. Words like, be still and know that I'm God. He doesn't give us words like, be busy and tired and exhausted and worn. What might God be inviting you to experience and to work with him in a way of being who he created you to be as a woman of God, sharing God's good news with the people around you? What might you be sensing deep within you that God's Spirit is speaking into your life? What new ideas, fresh ideas? What new ways of doing life for yourself, for your family? What might he be speaking? And so this morning, women, we want to pray for you, and we're going to do it a bit differently to what we've done for the others. I'm not going to ask anybody to move, it's okay, but if you are of the male variety, what I'm going to ask is that you just look around and see some women near you and just hold your hands towards that direction. Again, it's nothing magical, but it's a sense of, as the males of this church, we are praying. We are wanting to support you in your role of being a woman, whether that's a wife, a mother, a non-wife, a non-mother. Whatever role you have, whatever life has for you, as the males of this church, we are praying for you. And then I'm asking that there might be one or two men who would just pray from where you are for the women of our church. So would you join me and pray for the women? Just allowing your body language to be speaking God's love and grace into their life. And then maybe the voices of a couple of men who might speak from where they are, asking God to work in the lives of the women of our church. Let's pray together. Thank you. I'm handing back to Jody, and then I'll be back in a moment. As we move from thinking of and praying for the women, we think of and pray for our men. So with women in mind, but also with men in mind, from Prager, the TED Talk, he said, quotes like, finding at 20, one is less and less sure of who one is. At 27, a time of sudden revelation. Emerging at 30 from the wasteland of preparation into active life. And learning at 40 to close softly the doors to rooms I would not be coming back to. I think all of us have come to seasons in our life when we've had to gently close doors, softly close doors on rooms that we won't come back to. And so men, scripture's full of you, full of men, strong characters. So call out some of your favourite Bible characters of men. Call them out for us. Yay. Yeah, good one. Paul, David, anybody else? Oh, Daniel, Elijah. Any other favourites? Elisha. Samuel, Moses, did I hear? Yep. So many wonderful stories, great stories to tell, wonderful stories to be captivated by, inspired by, to be challenged by. So men. Some that I chose just quickly were Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, the other Joseph, Peter, Paul. People who, again, heard and responded to the call of God in their life. Living faithful lives, not being perfect, but recognising God's work in and through them. So if we go back to David, we spoke about David when we spoke to the young people. David, with this wonderful phrase that said about him, a man after God's own heart. David, a man after God's own heart, yes. And then Moses, a character who, when God calls him to lead the people out of Egypt, he says, I'm not very good at speaking, I'm not a great leader, I can't really do this very well. We can come up with all kinds of excuses of why not to do the things that God calls and invites us in. Not good enough, not prepared enough, not important enough, not whatever enough. And yet God continually calls ordinary, everyday men to be a part of his unfolding story in our world. So both David and Moses, two men who lived lives that God was able to work through. If we go back to Prager. In his TED talk, he says, he felt his own age, 44, in the Armies of the Night by Mailer. He felt as if he were a solid embodiment of bone, muscle, heart, mind and sentiment to be a man, as if he had arrived. So guys, do you have a sense of a growing sense of being a man of God? Do you have a sense that whether it's the 27, it's the 35, it's the 44, it's the whatever number? Do you have a sense that body, heart, mind and spirit are coming together in a way in which you are growing at being a man after God's own heart? What are the steps that you're taking to do that in this culture again that does not allow you, does not encourage you, does not celebrate you being a man of God? How can you be supporting each other in that? How do you make connections with other men who are growing in their faith to support and encourage and pray for, to listen to each other? What do you have a sense that God is speaking into your life at the moment? What are some of the things that he might be speaking to you about? And when I say that for you as guys and also for women as well, I'm not necessarily saying what is God wanting you to do, but what is God wanting you to be? What kind of person, what kind of character If David is mentioned as being a man after God's own heart, what might be the way that you want to be described? What are the words that you feel God is wanting you to describe you? And what do you sense God is calling you away from? J.B. Phillips' translation of Romans 12, I love, where it says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. It takes a strong man and it takes a strong woman of God to not be squeezed into the culture around us. And so there might be things that you know you've allowed yourself to become involved in as part of the culture that is strong around us, that God might be saying, actually, that's not what I created you for. That's not who I want you to be. And what new things might be God inviting you into? One of the things that I found really fascinating about listening to Prager was his sense of diminishment over time. And yet when we look at Scripture, God doesn't diminish his work in us as we age. In fact, sometimes he cranks it up a bit. What new things might God be calling you to be and to do and to explore and to think about and integrate into your life? I'm going to highlight one person here because I think that what Ben Reed is doing at the moment is amazing. Coming to the cafe to do his homework so that Joanne doesn't tell him off. I love that. But Ben stepping out into a new venture, when the culture around us says, dig down, build, you know, what you're doing now. Ben is stepping out with what he feels God has placed on his heart. His love of art, and so training to be a teacher. Love it. Well done, Ben. God puts new dreams and new into our heart. Listen for what they are, even though they may scare the living daylights out of us sometimes. But let's be strong. Let's be faithful. So men, we're going to pray for you. But I'm going to ask the men to do something a bit different. If you've ever watched the movie Oliver, there's that lovely scene when Oliver comes with his bowl and he says, okay, a little louder, he says, I want some more. Men, I want you to hold your hands before God this morning. And the prayer that we're going to pray for you is that God, we want some more of you in our life. We want some more of what you're leading us into. So guys, hold your hands before God, however that feels comfortable for you. And I wonder if there might be a couple of women who would pray for the men of our church. Let's come before him again and pray. Thank you. We've got one last section. And the story that we're going to look at in Scripture is one of my favourite, but we'll get to that in a moment. We go back to Prager. He says in the TED Talk, we now live longer and so age more slowly. Christopher Isherwood used the phrase the yellow leaf to describe a man at 53 and only one century after Lord Byron had used it to describe himself at 30. As I stand here today in front of you, I'm not brave enough to put a number to the yellow leaf. You can own the yellow leaf if you like, so I'm not going to put a particular age on it. But I want to use one of my favourite parts of the Christmas narrative to speak to those of the yellow leaf. So it's probably not part of the Christmas narrative that we often get to, because it would be a few days later. But it's when Jesus is taken to the temple for the ritual cleansing and religious ceremonies. And there is Simeon and Anna, two old people in yellow leaf. But they are alert to what God is doing. They haven't retired. They haven't actually said, okay, I've done my bit, now it's the young people. They were looking for the new thing that God was doing. They would go to the temple worshipping and they were waiting expectantly. Not waiting expectantly to die. Not waiting expectantly to retire. They were waiting expectantly for the Messiah, the one that God had promised. And because they were waiting expectantly and because of the kind of life that they had led, they recognised him. This young child coming into the temple that day, they knew this was the promise. Lots of people didn't know. Lots of people didn't go, oh yeah, that child, yep, we know who that is. But these two faithful people, always expecting God to do something new, knew, even though it took people by surprise, this wasn't quite the way they were expecting the Messiah to come. I love these two older people allowing God to speak into their life in a fresh new way. They both did then say, well, we're happy to go now, we've seen it. But they wanted to see what God had for their people. We read back in Joel, and it's referred to in the book of Acts, these words. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Paul refers to that in the book of Acts. as God's Spirit comes and does new fresh things, to create what we now call the church and to lead each other. But what that verse says is that God doesn't send us off on retirement, that even in the hearts and the lives and spirits of people in yellow leaf, he places new dreams, he opens up new opportunities. And so those of you who acknowledge that you are in the yellow leaf years, what dreams, what visions is God placing your heart? What new things is he speaking? What new things of God are you learning and discovering? How is he growing? What way are you different to what you were 10 years ago as you grow in your walk? Don't retire from the new things that God has for us. Dream dreams. See the visions that God places in your heart and let them find life in and through, because that's how you bless the church that God has placed. So I had asked one young person to pray for our older people, but she's not here today. So what I'm going to ask is, because I haven't put an age on this, what I'm going to ask is that we all just sit quietly and I'm going to pray for the yellow leaf. But I want you to hold your hands, this time not as I ask the men, but in your hand, imagine somebody that you think is perhaps in yellow leaf. You don't have to name them. We'll allow that to kind of, but someone that you feel is perhaps in that more senior stage of life. Hold them in your hand as I pray that God might work in. Join me as we pray. Father God, I thank you that the call in people's lives doesn't stop, that right through into old age, and as Mum said, even when my hair is grey, that you are still at work, you are still calling, you are still speaking into our lives. And we see that in the life of Simeon and Anna, expectant, looking for what you're doing. And even though it was unusual, even though it took them by surprise, they recognised you at work. And so, Father God, I pray for those of us who are in yellow leaf, the autumn season of life. And it might feel as though all the leaves have fallen off the tree. And there is that sense of diminishment of what the body is able to do. But Spirit of God, you are alive and well with those people, speaking fresh words of encouragement, fresh words of invitation of what you have for them. And so I pray that each of them, each of us, would listen, respond, call, your taste, your work. And that through us, even into old age, you would be seen and that we would be your light. In Jesus. Amen. In the New Testament, Timothy is encouraged to not allow people to put him down because of his age. I want to encourage all of you not to allow people to put you down because of your age, whether you're young or whether you are old or in between, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, whether you are a man, whether you're a woman. No matter who you are, don't allow the world to put you down. Regardless of your age, you're able to place your life in the hands of God and allow him to do his work. God is doing and will do a great work in this world, and he chooses to use people of all ages to accomplish his purposes. How wonderful it would be to allow him to use all of us, young and old, together, mixed together in this melting pot, to accomplish great things for him. And so towards the end of his TED talk, all of us, you, me, age more or less in step, proceed from birth along the same great sequence through the wonders and confinements of childhood, the emancipations and frustrations of adolescence, the empowerments and the millstones of adulthood, the recognitions and the resignations of old age. There are patterns to life and they are shared. And as Thomas Mann wrote, it will happen to me as to. So friends, we are family together. We're all on this same journey in this same location. Let's support each other. Pray for each other. Some have walked further along the journey. Listen to them. Learn from them. Encourage them. Thank them. Be inspired by them. Inspire them. And some of our family are just in the early stages of the journey of life and faith. Listen to them. Learn from them. Encourage them. Thank them. Be inspired by them. And inspire them. And so we don't simply live these patterns that Prager talks about. We record them too. We write them down in the book and the narrative of our life, that they can be read and recognised by people around us. He says that books tell us who we've been, who we are, and who we will be too. He says that's been the case for millennia, and that's the story of Scripture. Who are we? We are created of our Creator God. Who are we? We are people who are lost but loved, people who are saved by the grace of God. Who will we be? People who are fully restored when the day comes when God makes all things new. But until then, let's be family together that encourages and prays for each other. encouraging, inspiring, helping one another. And so, family, go into this week and be all God created you to be. Go into this week as a young person, as a middle-aged person, as an older person. Open to the new things that God has for you. And as you travel through Holy Week towards the Easter weekend, might your hearts be soft towards all that God has for you. Amen.